Y'all know what time it is.
Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on,
suit on,
looking like the Dapper Don,
giving a mug
on,
dress
like a $1 million,
things in his cuffs.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh,
yeah. Listening to me, put your hands together for Steve Harvey.
Put your hands together.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You are listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only Steve Harvey got a radio show. Yeah, man. One more time. Steve Harvey got a radio show. Why? Because God is in the blessing business. If you go get in line, he has something for you. If you go get in line, he has something for you. God is amazing. The plan he actually has for you is so far greater than you can possibly imagine. It's really mind-blowing. And as I look back on where he's brought me from and what he's currently doing for me, all I can do is tell you is God. That's all I can tell you, because I tell you right now, I didn't foresee it. You know, it oftentimes amazes me when I listen to celebrities when they interview, how they say, you know, I always thought that this would happen for me. And I just, you know, it could be true. But for me, it's not that way at all. I didn't imagine it this way. I had a dream of becoming famous one day, but I had no idea it would ever get to this. It was a very, very simple desire for fame. I just simply wanted to become one of the premier stand-ups in the country. One of them. Not the, but just one of them. Because, you know, humor is, you know, it's, I don't know the right word, but it's an opinion. Some people, no matter how funny you are, think somebody else is funnier than you. I get that. I don't have a problem with that. It's some people that did not like Richard Pryor. They just didn't. They didn't find his brand of humor to be funny at all, because it didn't tickle their funny bone. So merely what I wanted in the beginning was to become one of the premier stand-ups in the country. There is no way I could have seen all this. There is no way. I am telling you, this has been nothing for me but the grace of God. And all the times I failed, every time I had fallen, he picked me up, he dusted me off, and he kept me moving. It has been an amazing thing to watch God do what he do. As I look back on my history, and you sometimes look back on your history, you've got to see, man, wow, what God has done for you and what he's brought you through to enable you to be where you are. It is amazing. Because really, real talk now, Had he allowed all of the decisions I had made to play all the way out, I can assure you I wouldn't be here today. But God, through this grace and mercy, who had a plan for me, who was just waiting on me to come get in line, and then he was going to start emptying out. He was going to start shipping out all the boxes in heaven with my name on it. And man, what a great God he is. What a great God he is. And you have boxes of blessings with your name on it that he is waiting to ship, but he needs you to go down there and get in line. That's what it is. It is not that he has more boxes for other people than he do you. He got boxes with your name on it who have never been shipped because you will not get in line to go get them. You will not ask God for them. You will not do the things necessary to attain them. We stop our own blessings, man. I have been the biggest stopper of my blessings than anybody else. I can't really get mad at nobody. I got nobody to blame for my existence but me. But then at the same time, I can't take credit for this. I really, really can't. I kid you not, I cannot take credit for it. And if you ever see me taking credit for it, tap me on the shoulder, say, Steve, pull up. You remember you said this ain't about you. If you catch me taking too much credit, you have my permission to stop me. Now, here is the deal, though, and this is what I want to get through to you today. Moving forward while under attack, new level, new devil. You know, every time you go somewhere, every time you try to progress, every time you make a decision to be better, to do better, there's going to be a confrontation you're going to have because it is the enemy's job to not see you go forward, do better, want more, behave yourself. There is a force that is operative out there that has people working on his behalf 24/7. I mean, just do dirt all day long. You got a computer, go read a blog. Just go read a blog. They busy, man. Not knowing, but just saying evil stuff constantly. That's their job. Well, here's what happens. We have to always keep moving forward while we're under attack. Because the attack is going to always come. If you allow the attackers to stop you, you will lose that particular battle. And you cannot afford this. You know, my father used to say, be careful when you're trying to kick somebody off the ladder because you got to take your foot off too, and you might slip. And so when people are taking their feet off the ladder, the majority of them ain't even on a ladder. They just at the bottom throwing stuff up at you. They are just shaking your ladder. They ain't even on your level, really, tell you the truth. They really not. You have moved on far beyond them, spiritually, physically, everything. But they are still shaking your ladder and attacking you. Keep moving forward while under attack because the attacks are going to come. If you take the time to stop and address it, you are impeding your own progress. This is very important to understand. Go on about your business. And remember Steve Harvey, and remember those of you out there, there is a Bible verse that helps me out every time. And I don't know why. I got it on 6 different plaques sitting all around my offices. Everywhere I go, I can read it. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That because this is that he will put me under his wings of protection, and this is my inheritance as a servant of the Lord. Period. I'm his boy, he my man. So when you coming for me, I have to just rest on that laurel right there, that he got it, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm just like you sometimes. You know, we know better, but sometimes we don't do better. Man, let them say what they gonna say. When they get through saying it, when they get through writing it, when they get through talking about you, when they get through lying about you, guess what they're going to have to do? They're going to have to step back and watch you rise. They're going to have to kick back and watch what God got for you. Because nothing God got for you, can't nobody stop it. I don't care what they do. Keep moving forward while under attack. You know something? I'll tell you something, man. Minister Louis Farrakhan taught me something very important one day. He said, Steve, remember this. He said, it is a common thing for a dog to bark up at the moon. But if the moon barks back at the dog becomes famous. You feel me? The moon was talking to you? How did the moon stop and talk to you? Don't give them that. Let the dog bark up at the moon. Don't you be up there. You go where God got you going. Don't bark back at this dog because the dog come famous because they ain't going to be able to get to you, but the dog is famous. Now, they want to interview the dog. Now, the dog, guess what? He going to do more barking. Guess what? About you. Man, go on about your business, y'all. God is in the blessing business all day long, man. Go get in line. Get you some. Get them packages and boxes shipped to you. They got your name on it waiting on you.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me have your attention again. I ask you for your attention every morning. I don't know what some of y'all be walking around the house ironing and making lunch and getting these kids out. I keep asking for your attention. The reason I ask for your attention, so you don't miss nothing. Now cut these radio ups and pay attention. Hell, we doing a pop quiz at 8. Gonna ask you questions.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
do it, Steve.
I love it. Yeah.
Shirley Strawberry.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
Carla Farrell.
Good morning, crew. What's happening, Steve?
So, okay, Junior.
Morning, Unc.
Nephew.
My dog. Let's go.
So, Carla, when the birthday party now?
My birthday party is this Saturday.
Woo-hoo! Tonight.
Yes, this Saturday.
You going, Steve?
You want to come? You want to come to the party?
Boy?
Nah, you know, I got a funeral to go to.
Your party be over.
Oh. You know how many people be lying?
It's a line.
The minute you don't hand him no cash.
Got it planned out. It's going to be a casino night.
Oh, fun. Cool. That's going to be fun.
Tommy, we got a roulette. We got a roulette table.
Yup.
All right. That's good.
A blackjack table. A craps table. We got it ready. You sure you don't want to come, Steve?
You ain't got no real money. You know how mad I'll be.
Well, bring some.
Well, I bring real money now, but I'm gonna want real money back if I hit.
The house and the pit boss.
He gonna break the house. Trust me.
Be in there cussing at your cousins and everything. No good. Well, I ain't finna fight them hood ass dudes.
You know they gonna
go
be
to Houston and get my draws beat off. Hey, dog, you don't come up in cuz party talking about you want all your money, man. You ain't getting all your money. Hey, man, $2, all we get. Dog,
really?
I bet 75. I don't care. Hey, that house. That's 73. Go to the house, cuz. Okay.
So what do you have, Carla? You got what?
Roulette, blackjack, and a craps table.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And just to be real hood, Carla, you ought to really add a domino.
Dominoes.
Dominoes really and spades.
Hey, let me tell you, man, when Gerald LeVert was living, Gerald, house in Pepper Pike, Gerald had a pool table.
I've been there.
Gerald covered up all the holes in the pool table, put some sides on it, put a new felt on it, made a crap table.
Instantly, huh?
I'm talking about be down there gambling so hard.
Oh, man.
That's fun. Yeah. That's fun. Yeah, celebrations up there.
Well, we here.
Yeah, we are.
Probably do something funny in a minute.
Yeah. We got something cute.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, let's get to it then.
Okay, well, that's all you wanted to talk about? You're good?
I ain't got nothing else. Okay. I ain't got nothing else. You know, I mean, you know, what else? Like, nah, let's just go to shoot.
Huh?
Don't talk about it.
I got to go to shoot.
Don't talk about it, though.
Well, yeah.
We behind you on this one, dog.
Yeah.
That was your boy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been uplifting you in prayer. We got you and the family.
All right, coming up at 32 after the hour, guys, we're going to talk about starting new careers. What? Right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, this new TV show, it's called The Rookie. It stars Nathan Fillion. He was from the TV show Castle. I don't know if you remember that from a few years ago.
Yeah, it was
Castle. It was good. He was a writer.
Right.
And then in real life, he liked to solve murders with the police, and he ended up marrying one of the police officers. Well, anyway, he's changed TV shows now. He's on a show called The Rookie. Like I said, he plays a 40-year-old rookie in the LAPD. Okay.
It looks good.
It does look good, doesn't it?
Good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because he's struggling because he's working with all these young people. And they're running down. Right, right.
Criminals. He can't keep up.
Yeah. So we wanted to ask everyone, did you start a new career after the age of 40? Junior, you just made 40.
Yeah, but I started a new career, though.
What's your new career?
Went from being broke to making some money. It's a whole different career now.
You look different. You look a little different, Junior.
Boy, before 40, Lord. You have no idea.
So real, huh? That struggle.
That's funny, Junior.
Man. So, I don't think anyone over here. Well, Tommy, you started something different, something
new. I ain't
new.
Started a new career. This old one just kicked in a new gear. That's what happened. This week, it kicked in a new gear.
But this has been your dream, though, right?
Yes, 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 yes. It is here.
Your new TV show, Ready to Love.
Yeah, Ready to Love. And I am not going to mess this up, buddy.
That's a TV career, yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's new.
Yeah.
That's new.
That is new, yeah. What about you, Steve? I mean, you have so many jobs. Do you have?
I made a career change at 55.
What?
Really?
I retired from stand-up.
Oh, wow.
You sure did.
Yeah. 55,
yeah.
Man. Wow. 2012, I was 55, man.
When did you start stand-up? What age? How old
27.
Wow.
So that's a long time.
Well, let me see if I was really 27 or 28.
Yeah. You could do a new career. You still
want to 28 when I started.
And you know what else? You grew some facial hair. A beard. That was
a career.
But I mean, it affects your career.
Whoa. Something I need to know.
You look differently. I mean, you know, you just made a change. That's all I'm saying. You made a change with
Shirley, you've never liked the beard.
No, that's not true, Steve. That's not true.
I've always felt that you never liked it.
Excuse me, why did you feel that way?
Because you ain't never said nothing here. You usually say
something.
You ain't never said nothing.
I said I liked it. I know I said that to you.
Y'all heard that?
I didn't hear it this week.
Tommy, you hear it?
You didn't hear it this week.
I heard it.
Carla, did you ever hear her say it?
I didn't hear her say it, but I didn't hear her say she didn't like it either, though.
No, see, that's what I'm talking about. She ain't say it. That meant she didn't like it.
Steve, I do like your beard.
And Shirley, I'm going to tell you something.
Huh?
And it hurt me.
Oh my God.
Here we go.
Yeah,
right.
I'm finna be a victim. Damn, man. Yeah.
And it hurt. Victorious victim.
Well, you know, after you said everyone else liked it and everything, I didn't think you cared about my opinion, but.
Shirley, I have always cared about your opinion.
I know. You
have given me your opinion for 18 straight years.
I know.
Name one thing. Shirley, let me tell you what. This is how I knew you was in my business.
How?
When I got a divorce, you said, "I'm so happy for you."
We was all happy, though.
See, we've been together for so long. We have like a brother and sister type relationship.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel perfectly comfortable saying whatever to you.
I walked
like
Shirley down the aisle.
Yeah, just
I
like
gave
you
Shirley
sure
away.
Yeah, just you like sure you say did. Whatever you want.
What I did at the wedding, Shirley, what I did?
You ain't do nothing. Since you sitting in the corner drinking.
No, I didn't.
You
I did
read. You read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about love.
Man,
sure did. Oh, that's
right. I was sitting up there looking at that going, why are you up there with a Bible?
But why was he pushing his glasses up like he was a real man? Oh,
but he all into it like he's serious. I got, why she got this fool reading this Bible passage?
Because,
did
Steve,
a good
it was
job.
Important to me to have everybody in it. I want to, you know, I just want to... everyone to feel a part of it, you know.
You got a dude out here,
Carla's baby Tasha was in it. She was one of my
that's
beautiful
Tasha.
Little flower girls.
Tasha. You ain't got to put
Monica.
No 50-year-old in your wedding so he feel comfortable.
No, but it was important to me to do that. It was like having my family in my wedding.
And here was the deal. Everybody don't know Tommy like I do. So Tommy was up there reading the scripture. They was going, yes, Lord.
He moving
yes,
people.
Yes, Lord. I was going, if y'all knew how big a fool he was, don't you know this scripture ain't finna help him?
He's
They said, what? Well, see, they
yes, did. Lord. They was reading the scripture. They was going, yes, Lord. I was looking around going, this boy, this ain't church.
But, Steve, I really appreciated you walking me down, though, because I was so nervous. I've never been that nervous in my life. And you talked to me. You calmed me down. You really calmed me down. You were like, take it in. Enjoy the moment. Just drink the moment in. You don't have to walk so fast.
I thought you were saying when I said bring your ass on.
No. You were slowing me down. I was nervous. I've never been that
man,
nervous.
Man, Shirley was running up the aisle. I said, Shirley, you ain't supposed to walk this fast. Slow down.
I was so nervous. That's because I was so nervous. You were like, slow down.
Man, this was not
Take
a stroll up the aisle.
Yeah. Drink the moment in. Drink it in. That's what you were saying.
Sure. You're going to get married.
I know.
You're not escaping from slavery.
I was just scared.
She was running to her man, girl. So, we understand.
No,
girl.
I was
Run
nervous.
To.
Yeah. Right. I was so nervous. Oh, my God. I was nervous.
Did you have a big wedding before?
It was pretty big.
Oh, okay.
Wait a minute.
First wedding is what she asked. I guess y'all can ask those questions. Now, if I'd have asked that, I'd have been in trouble. I would have.
It's not a secret. Was it a secret, Shirley?
No, it wasn't. Everybody knows. Okay. This is my second marriage. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
It's not a secret.
All Unc's weddings be small.
All right, listen, coming up next.
Hey, man, what you say?
We got to go.
This who you had reading scripture?
Run that prank back with the nephew coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour in entertainment news, Steve, a saying you love, don't let your president get your behind whipped. We'll talk about that. But right now, the nephew is here with Run That Prank Back. What you got, Neff?
I got your drunk husband.
That's what you got.
That's what I got. Let's run it.
Hello?
You got to hold on a minute, okay? All right. I got your phone. I'll give your wife a call.
Hello?
Right now, you're inebriated, sir. Okay? Right now, I should be taking you in, but I'm not going to do that. You let me. If she's able to come and pick you up, I'll let her come get you. All right?
Hello?
Officer Brian's going to put you in his squad car. I'm going to call your wife. I've got the phone dialing now. All right? Okay.
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
Hello. Who am I speaking with, please?
Who is this?
This is Officer Daniels.
Officer Daniels? You just called from... This is my husband's number. Who is Officer Daniels?
I am Officer Daniels, ma'am. Your husband's actually been pulled over, and he's been... he's in another officer's car. He's a little bit inebriated here, and we're trying to see about getting him picked up. I'm trying my best not to take him in today, so I'm trying to be a good Samaritan. I'm trying to get someone to come and pick him up.
Hold on. Back up. You got my husband.
What I got here on the driver's license is Kenny.
And he's with you now.
He's actually in Officer Brian's squad car right now. So he was actually bobbing and weaving out on the road, and we pulled him over. He's not creating any problems. The young lady wasn't creating any problems. So what we're trying to do is get somebody to come and pick him up.
You don't have my husband because my husband is at work. So he can't be in no Officer Brian or in your car. Back up. Did you say somebody's with Kenny?
There was a young lady in the car, man. We're actually letting her go because she's not inebriated. From the looks of it, she's calling somebody to pick her up now.
Man, I can't believe this. Kenny, I know that dirty son got nobody in my car. That's my car. And you said that he had, tell me this, officer, tell me this. Look at that and tell me what she looked like. It better not be that. Better not be the one I think she is.
I have no idea exactly. Excuse me, ma'am.
I know.
What exactly is your name?
In my car, he's supposed to be working.
I'm sorry? Jasmine.
Okay.
You're Jasmine. Okay.
Bridget.
No, just stay there. We'll talk to you in a moment. Her name is Jasmine. I'm not sure who she is in relation to Kenny, but...
Keep him there. Hold him there till I get there. I'm on my way. I'm on my way right now. Hey, Bridget, I want you to watch these children for me till I get back. I'm going to see if I can get me a ride up to the truck stop, and I'll be back in a minute.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
I'm still here.
Are you there?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay, ma'am. Listen, I can't stay here too much longer. I can stay here maybe another 15, 20 minutes. Somebody come get the car. But I got to keep moving here. I'm just trying to do a favor and not take this guy in.
I'm on my way. I got my purse in my hand. I'm on my way to that truck stop. Please don't take that nowhere, because I got something for his. And when I get there, I hope like hell it ain't that that's been calling me with me all through the night. Leave her there till I get there, because I got some things that I need to take care of this day. Don't move the squad car till I get there. I'm on my way right now. Right now. I'll be there in a minute. That took my car and picked up that today. We done had arguments over this. It better not be that. It better not. I bet you it better not be her. It better not be her. I'm on my way. I'll be there in a minute. I'll be there. Keep that till I get there.
Okay. Well, now there's a guy that was with Kenny. Let me close my door so you can hear me better, man. There was another gentleman that was in the back seat of the car that was riding with Kenny and the young lady.
I don't give a about no other riding with Kenny. You just make sure he's there when I get there.
Okay. Now, do you know who this other gentleman? Do you know nephew Tommy?
I don't care about no nephew Tommy. Nephew Tommy.
Cynthia. This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show, baby. Your husband, Kenny, got me to prank phone call you.
Man, you and Kenny can kiss. Because let me tell you what was just going to happen to Kenny and Nephew Tommy. I was going to go down to Bankhead and 285 and tell him when he get home, he's still going to. Oh
my God. You all right?
Oh my God. No, I'm a chick. Where you at, Tom?
Oh man, he told me, he said, man, my wife don't play. He said, wife, man, to prank my wife. You all right, Cynthia?
I'm good, Tom. I'm good. I'm good. But what for real though? Is he at work or you with
me? No, he at work. He in your car at work. He works.
You better be at work.
Hey, baby, tell me this. What's the baddest radio show in the land?
Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah.
That's all you need to say.
Okay. Y'all with me on it?
Oh, it's going to happen.
Yeah, we're always with you.
I'm worried about you.
I don't see it no time soon, Junior.
I'll tell you what's going to happen. First premiere episode.
That's Tuesday.
You're going to be visible and everything.
You're going to be so famous now.
Ooh, ready to love, baby. Ready to love.
Oh, let me say this. Uh-huh. Tommy, you my work husband now. You on TV and stuff.
See, right there.
Now we back together.
I love you.
I love you.
You're tall.
Look at my man working. Go get it, baby.
And he can say those W's. Candy girl.
Now my W's cute.
See how we do.
But wait a minute. Hold on. Y'all going too far. He tall.
Yeah. He's got a TV show. You know, TV makes everybody look tall. You know how it goes. Yeah.
All
the clips I seen you sitting down. Every man, that's small. I seen.
But you know what?
And Tommy, you had on glasses too.
He wears glasses. Steve.
Oh, okay. I thought he was trying to look intelligent. I was gonna tell him they some nice looking glasses though. Man, that's nice. I thought they were props.
No, I can't see.
Tell
I didn't know that, dog.
I thought
they were props. I said, boy, they done found a way to make him look smart.
Mm-hmm. Might go get LASIK, though. Been thinking about it.
Tommy's got
a new dog,
TV
you
show.
Can't see good. LASIK ain't going to help you.
Why LASIK help everybody?
I thought LASIK was like if you need it for reading. You can't see across the street.
I can see across the street.
Well, what you going to do? You going to have to put some more eyes on top of your
Tommy, tell them about your TV show before we get out of here.
Ready to Love. It is happening October 23rd on the OWN Network. You do not want to miss it. Hosted by your boy, yours truly. It is going down Tuesday night, October 23rd, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. You do not want to miss it. That's the premiere. All right? Catch me Tuesday night, Ready to Love.
All right. Thank you, nephew. Coming up at the top of the hour in entertainment news, Steve and the guys have been saying don't let your president be the very reason you get your behind whipped. Well, now, Steve, your friend George Lopez, the comedian, agrees with you. Right after this, we'll talk about it, okay?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, so Steve, Tommy Jr., here's a story from the saying, Steve, you love the saying, don't let your president get your behind whooped.
Yeah.
Except for you don't stay behind. But anyway.
Because that ain't what the T-shirt said.
No, I don't say that.
This is according to TMZ, Steve. Your friend George Lopez, the comedian, attacked a man in a Hooters restaurant who simply wanted a picture of George and only used a Trump reference to get George to smile. So says the man. Now, TMZ spoke to the guy who George Lopez grabbed by the neck in a video taken at Hooters in New Mexico.
What?
He grabbed the guy by the neck. This is all on video. Sources close to George initially told TMZ that George went off after the man had allegedly followed and egged him on all night with Trump references. The guy in the video tells a different story, however, saying he only approached George at his table once that day to ask for a picture. He says George grabbed his phone and started filming his own crotch.
Ah!
but he never hit record. So anyway, TMZ was told George eventually gave the phone back and wanting to make him smile and ease an awkward situation. Then the guy said, on the count of three, say, make America great again. Then George clearly didn't find the comment funny because he was on his way out of the restaurant when the video started. So, and I mean, you get two different versions of the story.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I believe George Lopez.
Yeah, right.
Man, that's who I'm going
I'm
with.
I'm going with Lope, baby. So, is somebody filing charges?
Well, I think the guy is probably going to file charges. As for why the guy chose a Mr. Trump reference, he says he was aware of George's disgust for Donald Trump and just wanted to crack a joke. For what it's worth, the guy in the video says he's a Democrat on paper, and police confirmed they got a call about the scuffle and are looking into the incident.
But what's so. what's more important is, are the Hooter girls all right? We don't want them to be discouraged from coming to work the next day. We need that there. Are they okay?
They're okay, Tommy.
Okay, let's make sure we check on them.
Okay. All right. Woo! Did you hear anything I said about George Lopez? Or
did he hear that he has a TV show?
I was about to say, ready to love. Ready to love.
Hooters need love, too. What is... Hooters can't
Tommy
be loved?
Tommy gonna need love in a minute.
Ready to Love, that's your new TV show, right? On OWN.
Oh, y'all ain't let me say nothing no more. Go on.
Can I tell you something?
Yes, sir.
Your livelihood is now sponsor-driven.
It sounds like it's shot.
Listen to your uncle now.
It is. It's sponsor-driven.
Okay.
But, Steve, you've managed to get around it.
Barely. Boy, I tell you, barely.
And by the way, you're welcome.
Man,
say you're welcome, Carla. You're welcome.
Say thank you, Carla.
Yeah. No, you're welcome. Steve should
you're
say
welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. You want me to say, yeah, you're welcome, Steve. You're welcome, Tom. Oh, so what you say, Steve? Barely.
Boy, they tried to get me with everything. Boy, they got me.
Yeah.
Ooh, they tried to get me. Ooh.
Yeah, we definitely try to protect you because we know you. We know you.
But back in L.A., back in the day.
Ooh, when we first started on this
that
show.
That boy said anything he thought about you.
I'm telling you, man, I got a call one time from Susan DePass and Susan. Samuel L. Jackson within 5 minutes.
Okay, look, we got to move
ever
on.
Say that again.
Time for today's headline, Steve. Let's move on before you say something else crazy.
Ladies and gentlemen, here she is, Miss Ann Tripp.
Thanks, Steve. Good morning, everybody. This is Ann Tripp with the news. President Trump says that his administration has asked Turkey for an audio recording of what is believed to be proof that Washington Post reporter Jamal Khashoggi was brutally tortured and murdered, beheaded as well, inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, they say within 7 minutes. However, Trump referred to the recording by telling U.S. reporters that, quote, we've asked for it if it exists. And then he quickly added, oh, it probably does exist. Up till now, Trump has been indicating that he believes the Saudis' denial of any involvement, warning of a so-called rush to judgment, while at the same time insisting that he's not trying to provide any cover for him.
I'm not giving cover at all. With that being said, Saudi Arabia has been a very important ally of ours in the Middle East.
Meanwhile, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is back from his visit to Saudi Arabia, where he supposedly spoke to the prince about what happened. There were pictures of him on the newspapers and stuff, shaking his hand. But when asked about what he found out, Pompeo pretty much said he didn't find anything.
I don't want to talk about any of the facts. They didn't want to either, in that they want to have the opportunity to complete this investigation in a thorough way.
Meanwhile, the headline in the Washington Post today reads, wait and see, amid global outrage over Khashoggi, Trump tries to protect the Saudis. Okay, here we go again. This time, a white woman in St. Johns County, Florida, called the police on a black man who was simply cheering his son on at a soccer game, claiming that she felt threatened. However, another white woman who witnessed the woman's unnecessary actions posted a video of her calling police as she sat in a golf cart and dubbed her Golf Cart Gale. Local cops did not arrest the soccer dad because he wasn't guilty of anything. Since the election of Donald Trump, there's been a rash of white women calling the police on black men, women, and even children, basically doing nothing but trying to live their lives. Some of these women have ended up losing their jobs. Golf Cart Gale did not. Today's the 50th anniversary of former track and field superstar Bob Beamon's record-setting long jump at the 1968 Mexico City Olympics, a record that stood for 23 years and is still an Olympic record to aspire to. Mike Powell broke Beamon's record in 1991. At 10:18 this morning, people are going to be taking part in the largest earthquake drill ever. People in California, Ohio, and Indiana are going to be participating in it. You know, it's a drop cover hole thing. They're going to be doing that at 10:18 this morning. Finally, the death toll from the Hurricane Michael is now up to 33 lost lives. Very, very sad. Folks trying to get their homes back in Florida, parts of Virginia, and Georgia. Finally, today is Love Your Body Day. So if you love it, you know what to do with it. Move your body. Shake your body. That's right. Move your body. But stay right there and find out if Uncle Steve is smarter than his nephew. We'll be back 20 minutes after the hour on the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys, Will Smith, we love him, and we're getting to know him even better. He's going in deep in the season premiere of Jada Pinkett's Red Table Talk show on Facebook. He opens up to Jada, his daughter Willow, and his mother-in-law about the worst time in their marriage. Will recalls a time when Jada would wake up and cry every single morning. Take a listen.
And there was a period where mommy woke up and cried. 45 days straight, I started keeping a diary.
Damn, you miss some days.
It was every morning. Damn. I think that's the worst I've ever felt in our marriage.
Wow.
I was failing miserably.
Wow. Ooh, that's wow. Deep, huh?
That's good. I want y'all to know this ain't finna be no trend.
45
I'm not
days?
Finna open up that's, that far. Okay.
That's something, okay. Though. I mean, for him to be that transparent and for it to have actually happened, because we would hear about them going through, but never that. Will and Jada got married back in 1997. They have three children. Daughter Willow is 17. They have a son, Jaden, who's 25, and a son, Trey, who's 20. Jaden is 20. Trey is 25 from a previous relationship. We've all heard the split rumors, like I said, multiple times over the years. But Will and Jada have made it very clear they have no plans to ever divorce.
That's
I love
cool,
that.
Man,
I love that.
I love them, man.
You really do.
I love Will and Jada, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm going to tell you, man, it's so hard to be married and famous because of the internet and cyberspace. Mm-hmm. And anybody, you know, something has to be done about this, that you can print a story about a person completely false. There's nothing that you can do about it. If you go after them, they don't have money. So now you're just sitting there and you don't have the time to waste to go after it because you're busy trying to hold your life together. And it's very, very difficult, man. So a lot of times when celebrities have difficulties and it gets out to the media, mm-hmm. Oh, man, you can't heal at the house because here it come.
Yeah.
Then you got off in, you know, I saw y'all ain't going to make it.
Yeah.
The headlines.
Yeah. Oh, I had a cousin call me a couple weeks ago. Bruh, you all good, man? Wow. Damn, I thought you was going to make it with this one.
Wow.
I said, Doc, what you talking about? I saw on the cover at the checkout counter, man, y'all getting a $400 million divorce.
Nobody got no $400 million.
Wow. All right. Well,
Marjorie's cracking me up. She said, Steve, let me ask you something before we split up. Do we have $400 million? I said, go sit your ass down. She said, because if we got $400, I'm not leaving.
Exactly. All right, coming up next at 34 after the hour, we'll talk some more about marriage right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Earlier, we talked about Will Smith and Jada Pinkett and how Will said the lowest point in his marriage to Jada was when Jada cried for 45 days straight. Will is going to appear on the season premiere of his wife's Facebook show. It's called Red Table Talk, and he's going to talk about his marriage. So, Steve, we were kind of getting into it a little bit about marriage, and I just wanted to ask you for just some honest conversation here. What's the one piece of advice you think all couples need to know for a successful marriage?
Well, even though you're married, I think it's important that you maintain a level of individuality. I think a lot of people go into marriage and think, okay, we do everything together. All our money is together. All our time is together. You got to, and then here's the other mistake. You got to make me first and make me happy. You have to, first of all, let's address the part about individuality. A person has to be able to have some hobbies that they enjoy, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
You know, a person still, you know, if you married a guy that likes to play dominoes with his boys, and now you married, now you want to shut down the domino with his boys, that ain't right.
That ain't good.
You got a wife who loved going to wine night with her girls. Now you married, now you don't want her out with the girl because some of them single. Hold up, partner. She still has the right to have some form of individuality. So I think that's the biggest mistake, man, because if you try to spend every waking minute with a person and lose yourself in it, you're going to be resentful and you're going to be unhappy.
Yep.
Second part, I learned this from a minister. It is not your job to make another person happy, nor should you make it yours. Because, man, that's an impossible task, man, to be responsible for another person's happiness. Man, do you know how hard that is?
That's hard, Steve. It's hard. Mm-hmm.
And, man, let me tell you something. I lived that. I felt totally responsible for a person's happiness. And it killed mine. I had none. Because it's hard enough keeping yourself together.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's tough.
Life is hard, yeah.
So those are the two things that I think, you know, you can get into finance and all that, but man, if a person is not allowed to be still hang on to pieces of who they are, like if Marjorie didn't want me playing golf anymore or didn't want me going to Vegas gambling no more, hey, hold up now.
Yeah, you'd have a problem.
If I told her she couldn't travel with her girls no more, or she loved going places, well, I'm working, you can't go because I'm working. Well, hell, I work all the time.
Right. That I feel you, Steve, because if Nestor all of a sudden wanted me to cook.
Jesus.
Are you serious?
I haven't been cooking. Yeah. Not cooking makes me happy.
That's right, Shirley.
So why should I start cooking now?
No, that's right, Shirley.
Wait, slow down.
Why kill a man? That's right, Shirley.
Thank
Shirley,
you. I'm going to start cooking all of a sudden.
Right.
That's no,
so
right.
It's just deli food at your house. Just sandwiches all day, every day.
Well, not right now. Not right now. We have to go to the grocery store. But
ain't nothing at home?
Nothing.
Unless he bring it. Cause she ain't bought a damn thing.
Steve just said it.
She got some pimento spread and crackers.
Don't lose your sense of self. Thank you, Steve. Okay. All right, Tommy, I want to hear from you. What do you have to say?
And you got a TV show.
Okay.
Watch your hands. It don't matter.
Say
he
something.
Can't think of nothing.
Yeah, what's the best piece of advice you can give people?
For me, for my marriage, compromise. to.
For all the fellas that's listening, compromise means for you giving in.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Not happy being right all the time. Yeah, that's right.
Not being right ever.
Uh-huh. All right, listen, hit us up on social media at Steve Harvey FM to comment on this subject. Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it's today's Strawberry Letter. Nope. Is that right? Nope. The prank.
Nope. Yep.
All the time. All right, hit us up on social media at Steve Harvey FM to comment on this topic. Up next, the nephew has a prank phone call coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, my strawberry letter for today. Subject, I'm a star, but my friends say I suck. Right now, though, it's the nephew here with today's prank phone call. What you got, Neff?
Right now, I have a lunchtime date.
Hello?
Hey, I'm trying to speak to Alan.
Yeah, this is Alan. Who's this?
Hey, Alan. Yo, this is Derek, man. Check this out, bro. You are Rachel's husband, right?
Yeah, that's my baby. What's up? Something wrong?
No. I work, this, like I said, this is Derek, man. I work with your wife, Rachel.
Right, you a supervisor or something? I mean, is this about work or something? I mean, she doing a good job and everything. She ain't about to get fired.
No. Everything's straight, man. Ain't nothing wrong with the job. Everything's cool with the job. This right here, man, is like what I noticed, man. And it's, you know, it just seems like every single day, you know, while she's on her lunch break, uh-huh. It seems like, you know, you would call and then block up the whole hour of her lunch break. And actually, you know, just be real, man, I'm just trying to come correct with you. It just seemed like you just cut in on all the time that I have with her.
Hold up, bro. Wait, what the f*** are you doing at lunch with my lady, son?
No, like I say, you know, we just spending time, you know, doing lunchtime, but it just seems so rude, you know, that...
Rude? You, okay, first of all, that's my lady, okay? I can call her whenever the f*** I feel like calling her. I pay for that phone bill. I bought that iPhone 5. I could get calling whenever I please, all right? Secondly, you ain't got no business being with a married woman alone at lunch. This ain't no date. Y'all supposed to be at work.
No, we are at work. We co-workers, you know? It seems like half the whole time I'm sitting in front of her. You know, we're supposed to be having lunch together, and she's talking to you the whole time.
Okay, what's your name again, bro?
My name's Derek.
Derek, all right. Derek, you work at the same building now? Okay, you at work right now, huh?
Yeah, I'm here at the job.
Y'all work in the same flow, because I'm finna come see you. You seem about to jump off way, way different for you, straight up.
Okay, so, dog, let me ask you something, man. What is the big deal? I'm just trying to, okay, you act like you don't see her. You act like you don't see her when she get home, you know? So why is it so important that you waste a whole hour of lunchtime holding her down?
I ain't wasting my, I'm talking to my lady, okay? You understand that? Why don't you go out there and get and then you ain't got to worry about sitting up in front of my lady. That's my wife. I walk down the aisle with that. We got kids. We got a house. We take care of this. She helped me hold it down in this. You ain't. You know, it's like you and who don't ever want to come in and do, but they got some always want to come in and somebody else's wife and why don't you do this? Take this advice and see what it works, how it works for you. Go to the church, library, grocery store, wherever the find your at, and you get you a chick. You date her for a minute. You court her for a minute. You romance her for a minute. That's what real men do, you know what I'm saying? That's what I did. That's how I got my Rachel. That's my heart. You trying to sit up there in front of lunch with her every day for the past year? I tell you what, bro. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow, but soon, you're going to see me. Me and you going to have none of this phone conversation. This is going to be a face-to-face.
Hey, dude. Hey, man.
What?
I ain't trying to come between y'all at all.
No,
all
you know.
Okay, like I'm saying, I'm not trying to come between y'all. I'm just saying it's every day you call it, man. What do you want?
That's my wife supposed to talk to every goddamn day. That's what a real do. You don't know about that because you a you ain't no real. All you know about is trying to holler at some street. You don't know what it is to put in work like a real man do. To actually hold down a home, pay the bills, everything, the family, the kids, and fixing the yards and fences, and you don't know nothing about that. All you know about is being a roach. Wife can't even go to work without like you trying to step to her and don't make no goddamn sense. But that's okay. Like I promise you, I'm going to be there. You're going to see me, and I'm going to see you. You know, I tell you what, this is how this is going to go. It may not be tonight, but it's definitely not going to go past tomorrow. Between now and then, you're going to see me, and I'm going to see you, and I can
hold on.
Promise you that.
What'd you say?
Heard me. I will come see your by tomorrow, son. Me and you, Derek. That's your name, right? Derek.
My name is Derek, yes.
I'm a you going to always want to be both smiley face in my wife's face. I'm going to deal with Rachel when I see her. You can please believe that. Please believe that. Talk to her about her little friend at lunch and like that. How get my number anyway, man?
So I got your number out of Rachel's phone, but that's beside the point, man.
What doing with my wife's phone, my y'all ain't that cool. I ain't never heard of no Derek before today, and all of a sudden you calling me talking about you was at lunch every day with my wife and you.
It's a friendly lunch date is what it is.
I know about how you do friendly. I know about all that. You ain't fooling me. I know like you who prey on married women all the time because they like you. But that, like I said, is going to change. Promise you.
Okay, Doug, here's what you don't know. What you don't know is Tommy be pushing up on him more than me.
Tommy
is always pushing up on her.
What?
Tommy the one you need to be worried about.
You have Tommy. Who the Tommy any?
Dog. Nephew Tommy, man. Check this out. This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your wife, Rachel, got me to prank phone call you.
Oh, I can't believe y'all did this to me, man. Oh, man, I'm finna come down to for real.
You all right, man?
Man, I am now. I'm finna come burn that building down. You don't even know. Man, all right, Pete, Tommy, this is my prediction. Somebody gonna you up.
For real.
Y'all, you just play too much, man. Y'all tripping.
Hey, man, check it out. You got to tell me this, man. What is the baddest radio show in the land?
Only the Steve Harvey Morning Show, man. Of course.
Now, don't it make sense if I'm out with this man's wife at lunch? Why is he calling?
Oh,
you know
God.
What I'm saying? While we having lunch. Now, ain't man. That disrespect?
Why
that
is he calling his wife? Is that what you just asked?
If we had lunch and it's lunchtime. And I'm having lunch with her. Ain't it rude? Ain't it rude for them to be on the phone like this?
Just be walking around outside with just regular clothes on. No equipment, no shoulder pads.
No bodyguards.
How
he ain't got a vest?
A vest on.
No service
hey, Tommy,
dog.
Hey, Tommy, that's what I'm going to get you for Christmas.
What?
A vest.
A vest?
Yeah.
A bulletproof vest?
Yeah.
After
but you want
like
one
that.
Just for knives? Everybody ain't gonna get up on you like that.
He's stupid.
Yeah, you want that for?
You need some protection,
You're
boy.
Stupid, Steve.
I'm not wearing it.
Okay.
All right. Make sure we say this air check.
Yes,
because I did. I not offer to buy.
You did.
Yes,
now we in the hospital, gathering around your damn bed. I'm gonna throw it on your ass then. Here go your damn vest.
Let me drop these dates in, man. November 9th and 10th, I am at Fitz Tunica Casino and Hotel. Fitz Tunica Casino and Hotel. That is November 9th and 10th in Tunica, Mississippi. November 15th through the 17th, the Funny Bone. That's Richmond, Virginia. Get yourself some tickets because a nephew is coming to town. Black Friday, that would be November 23rd. Grand
hey, man,
Rapids,
what's the name of the place in Tunica?
In Tunica, it's Fitz Tunica Casino and Hotel. Fitz Tunica Casino and Hotel.
F-I-T-Z?
F-I-T-Z? Yeah. Funny Bone, November 15th through the 17th, Richmond, Virginia. November 23rd, Grand Rapids, Michigan. That right there is Good Friday at Devo's Performance Hall.
All right,
it's
nephew.
Black
thank-
Friday, not Good Friday.
It's Black
yeah, Black Friday. Yeah, Black Friday.
All right, thank you, Neff.
Black Friday is good, though, ain't it?
Coming up, subject for the Strawberry Letter for today. I'm a star, but my friends say I suck. That's coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
It is time. It is time for today's Strawberry Letter. And if you need advice on relationships, dating, work, sex, parenting, and more, please submit your Strawberry Letter to Steve Harvey FM and click Submit Strawberry Letter. Okay? Right, Steve?
Yep.
That's it. That's all we get today.
I ain't got no time for all that. Go ahead.
We're ready, Neff. Let's go.
Buckle up. Hold on tight. Here it is, the strawberry letter.
You're going to love this letter, Steve. Subject, I'm a star, but my friends say I suck. Dear Stephen Shirley, I'm 49 years old, but I look 30. Praise the Lord. I'm an entertainer by nature. I love life and I celebrate it every day. I'm high energy and always the life of the party wherever I go. Recently, I started an Instagram account to showcase my talent, and I have a few hundred followers that like my work. I learned from you, Steve, that it's never too late to pursue your dreams. So here's my issue.
Well, hold up.
She put your name in it. It's never too late. So here's my issue. My so-called friends told me that I'm not as good as I think I am. And when they come to my shows, it's just for a good laugh. They told me that they have been laughing at me and not with me for the longest time. But they didn't have the heart to tell me. Can you imagine how I felt? I was down and felt defeated at first, but then I said, screw them. I miss hanging out with my friends, but I know in my soul that I'm bound for greatness. What should I do now? I need support and positive input, not a bunch of haters laughing at me. Where do I go from here? Should I stay on track and pursue my passion or listen to my hating friend? I want to leave my job and pursue this full time, so please help me. I don't want to make a big mistake. Well, this entire letter, you didn't say what your talent is. You didn't say if you were a singer, dancer, actress, comedian, etc. You didn't say. I'm guessing possibly a comedian since you say they're laughing at you and not with you. I knew you were going to say that, Steve. She could be a singer, though. I'm sure when they told you that, yes, of course you felt defeated, not to mention hurt. And you are right. It's never too late to pursue your dreams. You shouldn't give up on your dreams. Many talented people say, you know, they got their starts later in life. And maybe your friends are hating. You don't know. So what I say to you is you need to get in front of some professionals who can really tell you, you know, if you have some talent or not. And you can, you know, then decide if it's something you want to pursue. But please, Lord, please do not quit your job before you get a professional opinion, okay? Because I hate to say it, but what if your friends are right and then you quit your job, okay? Don't do that, all right? Just get in front of some professionals. You know, if you have some tapes, if you have some videos and stuff, send them around to see what they think. Some real people, all right, who are in the business.
Yeah.
All right, Steve.
Yeah, you ain't got to do none of that, lady. Here the professional opinion is right here. Let's just go and get this. Cut the music off.
I want to
make sure she
hear
me clear this up. Let me show you line by line how this is not good. I'm 49 years old, but I look 30. To who? I'm 49 years old, but I look 30. To who? Next line, praise the Lord. Ready for this one?
Yeah.
I'm an entertainer by nature. The hell do that mean?
Right.
By nature.
I'm an entertainer by nature. I'm assuming nature is an offshoot of the word natural. Meaning I'm an entertainer naturally. Now, let me explain something to you. When you're naturally an entertainer, it don't mean you good at it.
Right.
Your ass just like to fool around and clown. And then here you come. Just what I thought. I love life. I celebrate it every day. I'm high energy. I'm always the life of the party wherever I go. Okay. You know how many people is that? Ain't making a damn dollar at it. You ready for your next one? I started an Instagram account to showcase my talent. I have a few hundred followers that like my work. Excuse me. I don't know how long you've been doing this. But a few hundred is like 300 people. that like your work. There's people that sit on Instagram all day and hit that little heart, say they like something. Now, it's a lot of people that ain't got no talent that's on Instagram liking people, other people that ain't got talent, baby. That don't mean nothing. Has any of them asked you, can they buy your music or anything? She a singer, Shirley. Mm-hmm. She a singer and a bad one. But she a bad one, though, because she stopped singing and just started explaining stuff to people. Then jumped right back in the song. She like a musical.
Yeah. Like a movie?
Yeah, she like a musical.
Oklahoma.
Yeah. She'll be talking, you know what? And then it came to me. I've been looking for love, and I found it in you. That's what I did, girl. I found love in that. Okay. Then this is where the letter takes an ugly turn. I learned from you, Steve. See, I don't like getting drugged into this type of mess right here because I ain't seen you. So if you is 49, I ain't definitely ain't told you you look 30. I am an entertainer for real, not by nature. It's what I do. My Instagram ain't got 200-300 people on here liking my work. I don't know, lady. This ain't looking good. So here's my issue. My so-called friends told me I'm not as good as I think I am. And when they come to my shows, it's just for a good laugh. Come on. They told me they've been laughing at me and not with me for
That's
the longest
so sad.
Time.
I mean,
That's
so sad.
But they done had a heart to tell me. Well, they just told you. Hell, and now I'm here to tell you, too. Shirley talking about a professional opinion. I'm going to give it to you right after we get
there. All right. She asked for it. She needs that. All right, look, we'll have part two of Steve's response coming up. The subject of this letter is, I'm a star, but my friends say I suck. We're going to get into it at 23 after the hour when we come back. Right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, come on. Let's recap today's
Here's
letter.
Here's a recap, Shirley.
I'm a star, but my friends
Here's somebody
say I
think
suck.
They molding in. I'm a star, but my friends say I suck.
That's cold. That's
now,
so
if
cold.
This all this is a contradictory. See, this letter goes downhill. I'm 49, but I look 30. Mm-hmm. Right there. She been in the mirror a lot. I'm an entertainer by nature. I got a few hundred followers that like my work. You 49. You got 300 people. You 49. You ain't got but 300 people. You 49. See, Tommy fill up comedy clubs, venues, sell out all over the country. Kill selling out shows. These dudes is famous. You can't go no damn well and fill up a room.
Now, see, you're doing her like her friend.
No, she need a professional opinion. See, you can't go nowhere. Ain't nobody bought a damn ticket to see you. The fact that you won't tell us what you do is a sign that you must not do it well. I'm an entertainer. Now, I'm with Shirley now. Do you tell jokes or do you sing? Or is it a combination? Or is it when you start singing, it's a damn joke?
Crazy.
My so-called friends told me I'm not as good as I think I am. And when they come to my shows, it's just for a good laugh. They told me that they've been laughing at me and not with me for the longest. So you might be telling jokes or trying to do something. But they didn't have the heart to tell me. Can you imagine how I felt? Uh-uh. No, I can't. No, let me tell you right now, I can't. I can't relate to this story at all. No, I don't know what you're talking about. You come to my show laughing at me. I had your ass hollering and rolling. I make people get up and run to the back of the room and come back and try to sit down. Mm-hmm. I make people balled up in a knot. I have people face hurting, spitting drinks out. Ain't that what we do, Tommy Jr.?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes,
now,
sir.
Can you imagine how I felt? No, hell no, we can't. I was down and felt defeated at first, but then I said, screw them. I miss hanging out with my friends, but I know in my soul, here go my favorite line, mm-hmm. but I know in my soul that I'm bound for greatness. You know, that's probably heaven. That's probably what you're bound for.
Greatness.
Yeah, you brought up soul and bound. Mm-hmm. Your soul is probably bound for heaven. You're probably a real nice lady. So your soul that you think is bound for greatness, you're just going to go to heaven, which is even better than being down here and being a successful entertainer by nature. What should I do? I need support and positive input, not a bunch of haters laughing at me. Okay, cool. Here's some positive input. Shirley told you, whatever you do, don't quit your damn day job. Shirley told you that. I agree with Shirley. What Shirley said, whatever you do, don't quit your job. You said, where do I go from here? Should I stay on track and pursue my passion? You are not on track. You ain't got no track. You got 300 likes on Instagram. Don't base nothing on that. Or listen to my hating friends. I want to leave my job and pursue this full time. Don't you do that. Shirley said, whatever you do, don't you quit your damn job. No. You're going to starve. Let me explain to you what you're going to do.
Oh, my God.
Shh, listen to me. If you quit your job, you're going to have to find a refrigerator box.
What?
Huh?
You listening to me? You're going to have to find a refrigerator box. Then you're going to have to find an open space under the bridge.
Oh, Steve.
Then you have to find yourself a grocery cart.
Oh, my God.
You got to have that cart. You got to have that cart now.
Then, so in that grocery cart, you're going to have to find your air conditioner to put in it. Then you're going to need to start collecting clothes and put all of them on at the same time.
Don't care what the temperature is.
Mm-hmm. You got to layer.
Layer.
Then you're going to become unrecognizable after a while. And then you're going to be sitting somewhere at the bus stop talking to your dad.
What?
telling them.
No, I'm telling the truth. And then some of your friends gonna be in their car on their way to work and look over there and they not gonna be showish you because all of a sudden your ass is finna look every bit of 69.
Steve.
Yeah, I'm finna tell you what's happening.
She says she learned from you. It's never
she learned
too late
a damn thing from me. Learn this
dreams.
From me. It's never too late to pursue your dream. Just change your dream. Mm. You're not finna be an entertainer. If you're 49 and you ain't made it yet, first of all, they don't give 50-year-old people record deals.
Yeah, she's a singer, yeah.
See, if you're a singer, they're not gonna give you a record deal because they give you record deals for 3 records. They ain't even no promise you're gonna be here to do the third album. No, hell, I'm just trying to tell you why they don't do it. Now, listen to me. Now, you got this grocery cart next to your bus stop. And you're talking to yourself. Your friends is driving by, talking about, damn, you know what? That sure look like her. It can't be. Because it ain't that you done gained weight. It's just you got everything you own. Everything you own, you got it on. Now, listen to me. Stop this. You're not finna be no star.
She already is.
No, in your mind.
You think she is, yeah.
Just be a great person. Try to make it to heaven.
Oh, man.
Your reward is in heaven because it ain't down at the Phillips.
We got to go. Email us your Instagram
you're
us your thoughts
fill up the Fox.
On today's Strawberry Letter at Steve Harvey FM. Coming up in 10 minutes from the talk, our girl, Cheryl Underwood.
Cheryl will tell you you ain't finna make it.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Carla is going to spill the tea with Carla's reality update. But right now, from the talk, it is our girl. Introduce her, Steve.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm hoping she heard. what yes, I said to the strawberry letter, and she can reaffirm and fix Cheryl Underwood.
You're absolutely right, whoa. Steve Harvey. Let me tell you how right you are. Now listen to me. In my mid-50s, close to 60s,
yeah.
215 pounds. Now, let me tell you the things that somebody should have told me I was never going to be in the entertainment business. Figure skating. Out. Don't even talk. Don't even. Remember the black girl using figure skate? Well, oh, Lord, thought I was going to be that. Listen to me. You are right, Steve. I thought I was going to be a Sherelle, you know, a Vandella, a something. Uh-huh. Remember I told you I thought I was going to be in the caravans. I thought Albertina Walker said, listen, you don't give up drinking and cussing? You can't sing with nobody. You know I had to shout out Albertina Walker. Listen to me, Steve Harvey. You, a lot of people would save a lot of time and energy if they focused on. You got to know where the blessing from God comes. And sometimes the blessing from God is clarity. There are things that I will never be a gymnastic person. First of all, I can't get on that little piece of wood and tiptoe around.
Yeah.
It don't work. It don't work. I'm too fat for that. Yeah. I can't do that. Oh, let me tell you what I'm never going to be. Ready?
Yeah.
Listening.
A vegetarian.
I
love
vegetables. I sure hope this woman is listening.
Listen
go ahead, Cheryl.
Because you got to be real. Your friends, be real with you. Listen, I love vegetables, but I like a pork chop next to my greens. You know what I'm saying? I like a ham hock next to my cabbage. I'm going to keep it real. The Lord directed me to where I need to go. So, Steve, you are absolutely right. Now, it may be harsh, but some people want to project their fantasy on you for you to co-sign.
That's right.
It ain't going to happen.
I ain't finna do it.
No, sir. No, sir. Remember, Steve? Remember, I came to you and I said, listen to me, Steve. Me and you together
you?
Could recreate Sanford and Son.
And what I
said,
I tell
listen.
You?
I said, you gonna be Fred G. Sanford. I said, I got Woodrow down. I can do a good grade.
On Esther's husband?
Woodrow Wilson.
Oh, yeah, man, listen to me. You better understand it, Tommy. I could do a good Woodrow, a graded, listen to me. Remember Slappy White was on there. I said, ooh, I can do Slappy right there. Because LaWanda Page is too good for me to try to duplicate. See, you got to know your limits. You got to know what your talent is.
That's right,
and then
that's
don't
right.
step out on something and then say, God don't want you to have it. God didn't tell you to get it. You can't
right.
sing. You can't sing. Everybody don't need to sing in the choir. See, you're messing up the service right there. Everybody sang. Sometime you need to be in something else. A deacon. You know, you need to be on the usher board. Everybody can't sing.
That's right.
That's
thank
right.
You,
see,
Cheryl.
Steve, you're telling people right. You saving
I'm not
people
gonna
a lot
be a
of
part
time.
Of this.
And you saving people to not get taken advantage of. But before I go, while we talking about taking advantage, voter suppression is real.
Yes.
So I'm just going to tell you why we truly here making you laugh and making you think. Now, what's going on in Georgia is letting people know where they got something where your name supposed to look exactly the way it is on your driver's license, but they can't put your name all on your driver's license. So when you do register to vote, you may have a slightly different name because all that don't fit
telling
on your car.
Man,
why am
real.
I telling you this? We've got to vote, and it's your state. That's why your state assembly person, that's where they start the suppression. We must be ready now. You must get your absentee ballot. Fill it out right. Don't mess it up. Use black and blue ink. Do what you need to do. Why did God put us here? Because we are the new messengers. You must be ready because voter suppression is real, and it's real for black and brown and disenfranchised white people. So, Steve, if you telling people something, if you are alive, do what God blessed you to do. Do what God blessed you to do. Don't make no fantasy in your mind. But what's real, we got to get out there and vote. Because that's your quality of life right there.
That's right.
Your quality
that's
of life.
Right,
your vote is your voice.
That's right.
Vote is your voice.
Real talk.
So, you know,
and
I can't
vote
sign.
Instead of standing on stage thinking your ass is something by nature.
You better speak on.
You're back to that.
Because yeah, you go down to the Apollo, they still booing one, people down
boy,
the Apollo.
Boy, let me tell you something. I can clear it up for you in one night.
One night.
Just come
one
on
night.
With
bring
me.
A,
I got a
let
place.
Let her come down there.
You ain't got to wonder no more if you got it.
No more. No more. They let you know.
And let me tell you something. I want to take you to the Apollo, not on the TV show. I want you to go on Wednesday night.
What's happening Wednesday?
Wednesday night is the amateur night.
Oh, that's amateur night.
Okay. Wednesday night is the amateur night. It's the stuff that can't get aired.
That's right. That's brutal honesty. Steve, you got to know these things. You got to know what you could do. You know, I was trying to get in Graham Central Station with Larry Graham. And Larry Graham said, look, only one of us can have a mustache. Only one. Oh, I showed it.
In a million.
This is Cheryl.
Come on, Cheryl.
Get down. Get low, Cheryl.
Of a lifetime.
We sound good together. Go ahead.
Compassion.
That compassion, boy.
And sing to me.
Hit it, Steve. Ready, ready?
One in a million.
Is that what the lady sound like in the letter?
Oh, no, she don't sound that good.
Here it go. Here it go. Crushing dreams right now. I thought I was close to Larry Graham.
You were right.
Man, listen. Me and Steve were going to do this bit where I was going to be a ventriloquist doll. Uh-huh. Man, let me tell you something. Y'all the most fun
but
show.
I ain't want you sitting on my knee, though.
Why could that knee show with a buckle?
Chair we had.
He would have buckled.
It would have buckled, Steve.
We gotta go. We thank you so much as always. Coming up at the top of the hour, Carla's reality update.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Tommy, let's get it.
It's that time, ladies and gentlemen. Carla's reality update.
Thank you, nephew. Here we go. Season finale. By now, you guys have seen the season finale of Braxton Family Values.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys see it, Shirley? Uh-huh. Did you see Iyanla?
Iyanla, yeah.
Woo-wee. Okay, so Iyanla tried to help the Braxtons. Come on, Steve.
What you got, Steve? What you got, baby?
Iyanla was on there letting them have it. Because, yes, see, she don't play.
No. That's right, Steve. You saw it then.
And, you know, Tamar probably thought wasn't nothing wrong with her.
Yeah. In the beginning.
You are absolutely correct. In the beginning, it was a two-part series or episodes of season finale. And there were some ongoing issues, you know, with the sisters. They've been beefing. And during part one of the show, your girl Tamar, she wasn't having it. She was just upset with, because you know how Iyanla, you know, on her show, Fix My Life. You know how she can get in your face and, the way that she tries to get people to open up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Tamar really wasn't feeling that. She wasn't feeling her method and how she was trying to do that. But Iyanla, she was kind of sick of the Braxtons, too. There was a part of the show where Tamar was late, Tony was late, and so she left. Iyanla left and said, y'all need to get y'all stuff together, and when y'all ready to get it together, then we'll talk. Next day rolls around. Iyanla talks about the issues and trying to get to the root of the problem and what's really going on with these women, with these sisters. And Tamar was being disrespectful to Iyanla. And you know how she does with her mannerism and
her neck. She cuts you off.
Yeah, her neck and all this.
Smoking and popping and all that.
Yes. Well, her mother,
Miss Evelyn,
had enough. Take a listen.
Wait a minute!
Calm down. Whether you agree with Iyanla or not, you cannot disrespect her, because none of you were raised that way. Tell her what you feel, but it's a way to do it, baby.
So I'm not due respect?
No, respect your elders.
Got it.
Let's go with what the word. You want to go with the word? I got this, Trina.
I didn't say anything, Mommy. I'm sorry.
We will. I'm telling you right darn now. You say one more word, and I got you. We will respect her. Do I make myself clear? I see the hurt. I know you're hurt.
I'm not hurt. I'm disrespected.
You're going to calm down.
Frustrated.
She's frustrated for a lot of things. There's a lot that's going on with Tamar. And that's why we're here. Give yourself a chance.
Woo!
See that right there? That's a black mother.
That's right.
Yes, that's right.
You got one more time.
Yeah. I got you.
You
will not disrespect her. You will respect your elders. That's how we were all raised.
You can't get your ass whooped at 40.
Dog.
She said, I got you. You got one more time.
Okay.
You got one more time. She said, you got one more time. And then Trina, the sister was going to say something. You heard her mama say, I got this, Trina. And she was like, oh, I'm sorry, mama.
I'm sorry, mommy.
Sit back.
Boy.
I got this.
If that ain't my mama at that Thanksgiving table, somebody say something else.
Exactly.
Ooh, and it got so quiet up in there because my daddy looked up from eating. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Now let Bill say something else, and then you say something damn Foster. Yeah, man, my father, my daddy throw a plate at your ass with your food on it. My daddy, man, this dude, I'm tell you something, man. I'll tell you something. There's something wrong with my damn dad. I swear to God it was, man.
Yes.
He did not
that
play.
That damn man.
No,
he
nonsense.
Did not play. Yeah, so, you know, back to Iyanla and the Braxtons. She talked to Miss Evelyn and Mr. Michael, you know, the parents, and their marital issues. They were saying she was trying to get them to understand that is a problem. That was a problem with the children, with the daughters, and how they are behaving and treating each other. And then Tony dropped a bombshell. She admitted to Iyanla that she didn't like her family.
Really?
And, yeah.
Who, Tamar?
Tony. Tony said this.
Tony Braxton?
Yes.
Breathe again?
Yes. The one and only. Yes.
I love me some him.
She don't like none of them?
That's what she said. It's been times where she just did not like her family. And that was just a moment where Iyanla had them do like an exercise and they had to confess.
I agree with that, yeah. now that I think about it.
Right. Yeah. Having these moments.
And Carla.
Yeah, Shirley.
Didn't Miss Evelyn say that when they had the one-on-one that she didn't know the man, talking about her current ex-husband, she didn't know him now. He was dead to her.
Yeah.
Miss Evelyn
said that about Mr. Michael, which is, you know, the father, her ex-husband. And, you know, they got a divorce. He cheated on her. Mm-hmm. And so what Iyanla was saying, y'all's relationship has affected your daughters and your behavior and the messiness of the divorce. And so she was saying that he was dead to her. And that because he cheated on her, he crushed her.
Yeah.
He crushed Miss Evelyn. And she never, it seems like. It's been a very long road for her to forgive him, you know, for that. So it was a good episode. Tracy, she had some issues, too, because she, you know, the sisters, I don't know if you know this, but they held out for mid-season contract negotiations with the WE TV network. And so they all decided that they weren't going to go back and do the show, Braxton Family Values. But Tracy went back to work. And so she said that she felt like the sisters labeled her as a traitor, but she said she needed the money. She needed her check. And she needed to go.
She makes the money.
She needed to go to work. And you know, that was pretty much it. At the end of the show.
So she was just a one Braxton family member?
Well, they showed her family for a few episodes in her life and what she was going through. And then, you know, finally, that was it. And then Tamar did a heartfelt apology and the sisters.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she did a very heartfelt apology, and some of the sisters said they finally believed her at that moment. So I guess, child, the Braxtons, they're going to try to work it out. Go to Lipspark, right. Carla, if you want to comment on more. We will be back at 20 after the hour. That is Reality Update.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, nephew, we're going to make this segment right here all about you. You have a brand new show called Ready to Love. It's on OWN. Congratulations. Tell us about it.
Ready to Love. Y'all, this what I like about it is it's a dating game. It's a dating show. It's in Atlanta, okay?
Uh-huh.
You start out with 12 beautiful ladies. You start out with 8 men. They go out on dates with one another. They come back. We talk about it. Me and the fellas talk about it together. Me and the ladies, we sit down, we talk about it. They get to bounce things off of me on each side, and they get to let me know what they're going through. But what's bad is when you got the fellas who actually want to go out with the ladies, tell them a whole bunch of stuff that they really ain't feeling. You're lying to them. You're running game on them. And it's my job to stop all the game.
crack the whip on these boys as hard as I can so they can go over there and actually try to find true love and treat these ladies with the utmost respect. The ladies, they tired of it. They are in their 30s, they 40s. They done been around the block before. Some of them been married. Some of them have children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they you know, they career-driven. They got it going
on. They grown
on.
These women.
Ain't 25,
these, yeah. These grown women, man. Yeah. And the main thing is, they not for your game. Mm-hmm. And they letting them out. They calling them out on it. They calling these brothers to the table about running this game. If this is really what you looking for, put up or shut up. This one right here is completely different. Because when you might see a guy go out with this girl 1 week, and you say, you know what? They gonna make it. It's gonna be them too. And then you turn around the next week and be like, "Well, I'll be damn. He done went a whole different direction. Or she don't even want him no more." It changes.
And
wow,
that's a lot. That's a lot, Tommy.
Off the top, you gone.
Yeah, so tell me, what's your role? What exactly do you do in the show?
I mean, I'm the host. Mm-hmm. I am the person that navigates you through the entire show, the mm-hmm. entire season. It's me. I'm letting you know what's going on, who went out with who, what happened. I bring out, I make these guys sit down and tell me, explain your day to me. Tell me what happened. And when it's time for someone to eliminate someone, I put it on the guys or on the girls. Ladies, you guys have to let these two men go. Whoever it is you want, mm-hmm. or fellas, you got to take them out and tell them they got to go.
Ooh.
So it's tight. It's twists and turns throughout the whole 10 weeks.
Oh, I can't wait. Man. Ready
can't
to
wait.
Love.
We going to be watching.
Starring Ready Nephew Tommy.
Yes, baby.
So
October 23rd, Tuesday night, is the premiere, 10 Eastern, 9 Central. You do not want to miss it. Only on OWN.
I gotta ask your uncle, well, how are you feeling?
It's good. I'm gonna give you this one free, Tommy. Here's mm-hmm. the deal. You should inform men, because once you get to these grown women that done had enough of games and they really looking for something serious, mm-hmm. there are women you can just play with. Oh. They're on Instagram, they're on Tinder, they swipe right, swipe left, look for hookups. You know, it's some women out there that's for this, but they probably going to be younger. So take your old 35, 40-year-old behind down on Tinder and get to swiping right, swipe left. Because they know it's called a hookup app. And there are a lot of women on there that's just looking for casual dating. Go play with them. There's women who really want to play nowadays. It's sad, but it is. Mm-hmm. I don't recommend it. Mm-hmm. But you should say to the fellas, stop playing with these grown women, man.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Get over there on Tinder and play with somebody that want to play because they're young and they don't know no better.
All right. More of the Steve Harvey Morning Show coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right. So, Steve, Tommy Jr., here's a story from the saying. Steve, you love the saying, don't let your president get your behind whooped.
Yeah.
Except for you don't stay behind. But anyway.
Because that ain't what the T-shirt says.
No, I don't say that.
This is according to TMZ, Steve. Your friend George Lopez, the comedian, attacked a man in a Hooters restaurant who simply wanted a picture of George and only used a Trump reference to get George to smile. So says the man. Now, TMZ spoke to the guy who George Lopez grabbed by the neck in a video taken at Hooters in New Mexico.
What?
He grabbed the guy by the neck. This is all on video. Sources close to George initially told TMZ that George went off after the man had allegedly followed and egged him on all night with Trump references. The guy in the video tells a different story, however, saying he only approached George at his table once that day to ask for a picture. He says George grabbed his phone and started filming his own crotch.
Ah!
but he never hit record. So anyway, TMZ was told George eventually gave the phone back and wanting to make him smile and ease an awkward situation. Then the guy said, on the count of three, say, "Make America great again." Then George clearly didn't find the comment funny because he was on his way out of the restaurant when the video started. So, and I mean, you get two different versions of the story.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I believe George Lopez.
Yeah, right.
Man, that's who I'm going with.
I'm going with Lope, baby. So, is somebody filing charges?
Well, I think the guy is probably going to file charges. As for why the guy chose a Mr. Trump reference, He says he was aware of George's disgust for Donald Trump and just wanted to crack a joke. For what it's worth, the guy in the video says he's a Democrat on paper, and police confirmed they got a call about the scuffle and are looking into the incident.
But what's more important is, are the Hooter girls all right? We don't want them to be discouraged from coming to work the next day. We need that there. Are they okay?
They're okay, Tommy.
Okay, let's just keep, make sure we check on them.
Okay. All right. Did you hear anything I said about George Lopez? Or
did he hear that he has a TV show?
I was about to say, ready to love. Ready to love.
Hooters need love, too. What is...
Tommy.
Hooters can't
Tommy
be loved?
Tommy gonna need love in a minute.
Tommy, Ready to Love, that's your new TV show, right? On OWN.
Oh, y'all ain't let me say nothing no more. Go on.
Can I tell you something?
Yes, sir.
Your livelihood is now sponsor-driven.
It sounds like it's shot.
Listen to your uncle now.
It is. It's sponsor-driven.
Okay. But, Steve, you've managed to get around it.
Barely. Well, I tell you, barely.
And by the way, you're welcome. Say you're welcome, Carla. You're welcome.
Say thank you, Carla.
Yeah. No, you're welcome. Steve should
you're
say
welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. You want me to say, yeah, you're welcome, Steve. You're welcome, Tom. So what you say, Steve? Barely.
Boy, they tried to get me with everything. Boy, they got me.
Yeah.
Ooh, they tried to get me. Ooh.
Yeah, we definitely try to protect you because we know you. All right, we're coming back with more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show. As a matter of fact, this is our last break of the day. Steve's closing remarks. You don't want to miss it. It's been a good day. We'll be back at 49 after the hour right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we are, last break of the day. Steve, I know you have some closing remarks for us today. What you got?
I mean, man, I've read some good books, man. Bishop Jakes' books are Basic Instincts. Great book, man. Just a great book. I really, for the most part, only have the time to read certain types of books. And the types of books I usually choose to read are self-help books. You know, books where I can improve myself. You know, that would include the Bible. But there are some books out there that are written spiritually based that are very, very helpful also. And Joel Osteen has a book. I think I told you a little bit about it earlier this week. The name of the book is Next Level Thinking. Next Level Thinking says it all. Because let me explain something. I don't care who you are. If you want to get to the next level, if you don't want to stay where you are, if you want to elevate yourself and get to the next level, you're going to have to change your current thinking. See, listen to me, y'all. All of us have thought ourselves to where we are now. We ain't got nobody else to blame. Oh, you can choose to do it that way? Well, if they hadn't have done me wrong, if I hadn't have lost my job, I got all that. Things do happen in life. Admittedly, things come along that we have no control over that can set us back at times. I am fully aware of that. But in order to grow, you've got to pick up the slack and take the blame. Because you can't change another person. You can't make another person be something you want them to be. You can't stop everybody from hating on you. You can't stop the plant from closing. You might not be able to stop foreclosure on your home. You might not be able to get that child of yours to graduate for nothing in the world. So, there are things that are going to happen that you have no control over. The one thing you can really control is you. You can do something about you. So here's the deal. If you are somewhere in life and you desire to go to the next level, in order to get to the next level, I don't care who you are, you have to change some thinking. If I want to get to the next level that I'm trying to accomplish, I have to change some of my current thinking. Because we've all thought ourselves to where we are right now. We are all a product of our thoughts and actions. All of us. All of us. Every last one of us. We are partly responsible and greatly responsible for where we are. Now, thank you for the grace of God that many of us are in places that we couldn't have possibly worked ourselves into. And I want to volunteer my hand and stick it up in the air because I am one of those people. My life is covered with God's grace. I'll give him that. But let me explain something to you. If I don't put the work in, what does God put his finger on to bless? So what I'm saying is, we've all thought ourselves to where we are, and thank God for his grace that we are all, some of us are further along than we even should be. I'm included. But if you have any intention of growing, expanding, developing, being more successful, being happier, being more well-liked, being more meaningful, more impactful of a person, you want to be effective in more people's lives, you want to be a catalyst for change, you are going to have to change your thinking. It will not happen unless you change your thinking. So as well as you might think I'm doing, I want you to know something. The plan that I have for myself, the one that I'm confiding in God with on a daily basis, has required, as Joel Osteen's book says, that you're going to have to develop some next level thinking. I met with a billionaire one time, and I'm feeling okay about myself, and I'm at his house, and I'm realizing, man, this dude right here is on some whole nother. And as we got to talking after hours and hours, he says, Steve, you're going to have to elevate your thinking. And I said, man, I'm a really positive person. He said, yeah, well, you're going to have to, let me see the phrase he used to me. I can't think of the exact phrase he said to me, but I got the message. You're going to have to big up, meaning you're going to have to supersize everything. If you want to change 10,000 boys' lives a year, you got to start thinking of how you can change 1 million of them a year. I went, wow. He said, if you want to send 10,000 kids to school, he said, you should change your thinking. How do you send 1 million of them to school? He said, man, if your goal is to make 1,000 millionaires, how do you make 1 million millionaires? He said, that's how billionaires think. They level everything up. Everything goes up with them. They think up, therefore they act up, therefore they become up, therefore they come up. It's crazy, man. You've got to develop next level thinking. I recommend Joel Osteen's book. I kid you not, man. It's just a great book. But you got to change the way you think, everybody. If you want to do better, you got to change it. Those are my closing.
Drop it, baby. Drop it. Is necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit SteveHarveyFM.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.